Welcome to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper.
Put it in the upper right-hand corner, just like a postage stamp. That's a good bingo!
Get ready to learn more about the Columbus Blue Jackets players and coaches, as well as find out what's going on this week in the NHL. Now let's join Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley for The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank.
Welcome to Colorado, where the Blue Jackets are set to play the second game of their five-game road trip, a trip that started in Detroit last night, and the Blue Jackets lost to the Red Wings in overtime by the final score of 4-3. Jody, that was a disappointing loss for the Blue Jackets last night. Obviously, anytime you lose, it's disappointing, but they had a lead with 19 seconds left in regulation time, blew that lead with just over 12 seconds left, and then lost it in the overtime. It was different from the other games earlier in the year where they weren't able to close out in the third period. Thought they played a good game, but Detroit had just lost 8 of 9, and they got to get into the playoffs. They needed the points. They were a desperate hockey team last night.
Yeah, they didn't look desperate in the first period at all. I thought the Blue Jackets had a really good start to the game. Lots of speed, you know, jump on the puck, getting breakaways. It just showed that they were anticipating and really playing a free brand of hockey, which, you know, these teams that are out of the playoffs, like the Blue Jackets, are dangerous to these teams that are desperate because, you know, there's a natural human element to think the game's going to be easy when you're playing a team that's out of the playoffs, and you get up when you play the teams that are the best in the league, and they didn't come out prepared. And the Blue Jackets, Detroit's lucky the Blue Jackets only had 2 goals after one. You know, 3 breakaways in the first. Puutio was the only one that didn't score on the breakaway. It was Texier out of the box. Werenski with a beautiful play defensively to jump there. He had a great night. But, you know, you look at that game and you could sense that there were some opportunities that just didn't go in for the Blue Jackets. And when Detroit got that bounce on the second goal, you kind of thought, okay, this is going to be an overtime game or this is going to be tight down to the wire. And Tarasov put in another great effort, I thought. The goal to tie it up was, I mean, it was all world what happened. Everything had to go right in that instance. It's an icing call. It's a face-off on the right side, so it's Boone Jenner's weak side. He doesn't get it clean. It goes up in the air and ends up bouncing back to Sider, and then it's the shot rebound, and what a play on that goal. And you know, they're a desperate team. You knew they were going to push. You knew once the goalie was out, they were going to push. And, you know, I thought Detroit looked a little slow at times. But I agree. That was an opportunity to win the game earlier than that last play on the game and in that defensive zone faceoff. And then you get to overtime and, you know, beautiful play by Patrick Kane. He's done it so many times in his career. And he didn't start overtime, but when he got out there, he took over and shoveled that puck past Tarasov on the short side.
It's hard enough to deal with Patrick Kane in 5-on-5, let alone 3-on-3 with all that open ice, the way that he just wheels and deals and holds the puck and head fakes and gets you to go, and then he takes the shot from the sharp angle. I want to ask you, you mentioned the icing. That was one thing that Pascal Vincent talked about after the game was the two icings late in the third period. It used to be, if you shot for the empty net and you missed it, a coach was livid, right? Mm-hmm. Did not like that at all. In recent years, it has been, go ahead and try it. And if you miss it, so what? You take the face off. But that was a situation where it came back to bite him last night.
Yeah, it used to be a selfish play. But now analytics say that the odds are better that to win the face-off, which are generally 50-50 battles, and take a chance to end the game, put the game out of reach, which when you think about it, yeah, if that puck goes in the net instead of going 6 inches wide, game over. But, you know, you're playing these games and you make that play and it goes the other way, and it happens rarely where the team that pushes and scores late like that happens. But, hey, you know, like we knew right walking into the building, that was a must-win for Detroit. And the other teams they're playing against and pushing against, they didn't have good nights either. The Islanders lost. It was a tough night for everyone around them. So it keeps it interesting anyways in the East, and as far as anybody trying to close it out or run away with it. And it looks like everyone in that spot is struggling. Pittsburgh, New Jersey, the Islanders, Detroit, you know, that whole group is no one's grabbing it.
The only one's not struggling, really, is Washington. They've taken advantage of everybody else stubbing their toe along the way.
They were way out of it, too, and you know, that's the thing. We talk about with 25 games left, they're out, 20 games left, there's no way they're going to get back into this. But then you realize that if teams do struggle or teams aren't really ready for the pressure or if, you know, things don't go right with goaltending, yeah, you could make everyone else. Like Detroit has done here. They were 8 points up on everyone, and now they're scratching and clawing. It's going to make it interesting down the stretch. And we got some of these teams. We got Pittsburgh.
A lot of them.
Twice. Yeah. You know, there's going to be a lot of action that where it's going to be meaningful games for the Blue Jackets. And you want to close those out. You want to be in those pressure situations with these young players and veteran players to close games out.
And it is an opportunity. We talked with Pascal about this a little bit yesterday prior to the game. When you talk about evaluating who you have on your team, who do we have? Where are we going with those people? Are we going forward with them, or are they not going to be a part of it? Can they handle this, or can they not? Even though you're not in a playoff spot right now, what you just said, you're playing against playoff-caliber teams. So the information that you're going to gather on the players that you have here, it's going to tell you a lot.
Yeah, but not as much as if they're in the race.
True.
You know, I think that's the real experience. You look at a guy like Matty Beniers last year. He played 19 playoff games, and until a player like that, and he's in Seattle, until a player like that experiences playoff hockey, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like to get in. You don't know what it's like to have the excitement around playoffs. You don't understand that you're going up against McKinnon for one series, and then I forget he was going up against for the next series. Big, good, strong player, centerman, matchup, seven-game series, battling, grinding, disappointment, ups and downs. So those are the things now where, yeah, you know, they're going to evaluate. Of course, they evaluate every day. And for the young players, the urgency, the wanting to do everything right to make the impression, to make sure they're part of the solution next season in camp is important. And they're always evaluating. But it's nothing like what Detroit is going through right now, which is that experience of playing the hockey games that are meaningful for some of these young players.
It was good to see Kirill Marchenko get a goal last night. And he shot the puck. Mm-hmm. And I say that because he just simply has not been shooting the puck as of late. I asked Pascal about that pregame yesterday, and he said, yeah, you're right. Then I asked Kirill after the game last night, do you think you just need to get back to shooting the puck more? His answer was, yes, but, because he said, you know, I look around, we play for each other, and if I have a chance to basically set somebody else up, I want to do that. And that's great, being unselfish and all that stuff, awesome. But let's go back to last year in his rookie year. Remember when he had no assists forever and he had a bunch of goals? There is nothing wrong with that. I mean, sometimes it's okay to be selfish, right? If you're a goal scorer, score goals. And I don't want to say he's a better goal scorer than a playmaker, but he can score. And sometimes when he passes up what looks to be a prime opportunity, from where we sit anyway, it's frustrating. And then when you see him shoot the puck like he did last night, you go, yeah, that's why you need to shoot it.
Yeah, he's got to learn that. I think he's got to learn that even shooting further out in the zone, you know, that was an impressive shot last night where he got the puck around the defender who was trying to block the shot, and then Reimer couldn't see it after that. He didn't pick it up. So, you know, getting shots through is a problem. If you hesitate at all in the National Hockey League as a shooter, shot lanes are going to close quickly. You know, I wonder the mentality for him because – as a shooter and a guy who scores goals, you know, you have that weapon now that everyone thinks you're going to shoot the puck. So then you can, in your head, process in a quick order and say, they think I'm going to shoot. I'm going to pass because this is going to be a perfect play. And then it goes the other way. And then everyone says, why didn't you shoot the puck? But a guy like that, if he gets the mentality of thinking of nothing but shooting the puck, he'll have more success. I mean, to me, a couple games ago at home, at the blue line, making the extra play to get in the zone rather than firing off the goaltender and surprising him and then going and getting the rebound and trying to generate from there. When you look at breaking down defense, when you shoot the puck, the goalie's got to make the save and hold the rebound, and then the defensemen have to make a decision between each other. And they also have to turn their back to you and find the puck. And I think that's the advantage of that. If you can surprise with a shot and be that shot mentality and not even think about passing, it's way more dangerous. And if I'm playing with you and I know you're shooting the puck, I appreciate that. I know that my job when that puck is going towards you is to get open at the net and try to find a rebound or cause disruption. So there's more to it. I agree. I would like to see him shoot the puck more.
Especially when he's playing with Cole Sillinger and Alexander Texier, because Cole's a straight-line guy. He's going to go to that net. So if you shoot the puck, he's going to be hunting for a rebound. And I think Texier, even though he can be a fancy goal scorer, I think he's the same way too. Especially, you know, I talked to him yesterday and I said, man, you look like you're really engaged right now. What's the difference from a couple of weeks ago? And he said, you know, when I got healthy scratch for two games, it really woke me up. And I was mad at myself. He goes, now it's just straight line. And that's what we've seen him do here in the last 2 weeks, and that's why he's been successful.
Yeah, Texier is one of those players that I think offensively we've been waiting. He's been reliable. He's been defensive. I love the line with him and Danforth and Sillinger. I thought there was a lot of pop. They had chemistry there. But, you know, that isn't due to injury now. They're trying to find different combinations. And I think Cole and Tex need predictability on that other side. And if he becomes a shooter, you want to play in the offensive zone as much as you can. And I think when you have a player that you know, like Danforth, who holds on to pucks and grinds and gets in there first, you can read off of that. So if you have the shooter in Marchenko instead of the passer, it makes everyone quicker, and it makes that line a really effective, I call it a second line right now.
Yeah, and that's a great point, because now basically what you're saying is if you know that Marchenko is going to shoot, you don't have to think as much.
Exactly.
But if you're worried about he might pass it to me, I got to get here, totally different thing.
And in the D zone, I've got a guy that's watching me, and I know he's going to shoot the puck, so I have the advantage of the guy that's on me, because I can pretend to be a passing option, then quickly jump around him, and knowing that puck is going to the net. And if I know where the puck is going, I can get there quicker.
No surprise, Zach Werenski had a good game in Detroit last night.
Yeah, no, that's his first time he scored in Detroit.
Amazing.
I know, and it's good to see that. Zach, you know, right from the start, and I go back to the Winnipeg game where, you know, it was tight checking. The Winnipeg Jets are the best team we've seen. They play a very good team game, and they have an outstanding goaltender. So when you play a game like that where shift after shift you feel smothered and you feel like you're reacting instead of driving the play, and there was times where they were driving the play, but you just feel like everything's clogged up all night long. And then you play against Detroit, who wasn't ready to start that game, and there's open ice, and you can see the lanes. It's like it's a way more enjoyable game to play. And the first period just showed that. They were having fun. Werenski was defending and skating because he could see the open ice. He could feel the extra breathing room. And I think for him, that was an important part of last night's game. Plus, he was back in Detroit. He had friends and family in the building. It was great to see that for him. And how about Zach getting a breakaway with friends and family here and scoring? I mean, that's how you want to score, right? You want to have all that anticipation from your own blue line all the way in. He had everyone on the edge of their seats, and it was an excellent start for the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, he made it look easy, and then he set up Texier with a great pass for his breakaway coming out of the penalty box. So, yes, it was good to see Zach do that. We've got a guy coming up next who's scored a lot of goals in the short period of time that he has been here. Alex Nylander is going to join us in just a couple of minutes, but right now I want to remind you can experience the thrill of outdoor hockey when you enter to win a pair of tickets to the 2025 Navy Federal Credit Union NHL Stadium Series at Ohio Stadium. Right now, get your phone and text OUTDOOR to 26791. That'll give you a chance to win those tickets. Again, text OUTDOOR to 26791. Message and data rates may apply. We'll be back with Alex Nylander as the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank, continues here on 97.1 The Fan. Well, the Blue Jackets won't be back at Nationwide Arena until next Saturday. That is March the 30th, but they'll be taking on the Pittsburgh Penguins at 7 o'clock. Get your tickets by going to BlueJackets.com/on sale. Bob McElligott, Jody Shelley back with you here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. We're pleased to be joined by Alex Nylander right now. And Alex, I just said the Penguins are coming to town. That's a team that you came from a couple of weeks ago. And boy, have you settled in with the Columbus Blue Jackets. Have you ever had an easier transition to become a part of a team in your life?
Honestly, maybe not. It's been great since the day I came here, and the coaching staff and all the guys, you know, they made it really comfortable for me to just settle in and start playing my game right away. So, and obviously I was really excited when I knew I had a chance and an opportunity to play here. So just really fortunate and just really happy.
What we've seen from your game, it's kind of funny. You've got you can play a heavy game, and you can play a skill game all at the same time. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Your guy likes to go to the front of the net. That's where you picked up a lot of your a lot of the opportunities that you've gotten already as a Blue Jacket here. Now playing with Boone Jenner and Johnny Gaudreau, I mean, when you came in, did you think you'd be in that kind of a role?
No, I obviously knew that I would have to, if that would ever happen, I would have to fight my way through. And just obviously there's been a lot of injuries, and just really fortunate that I'm playing on that line. You know, Johnny and Boone are really good players to play with, and got to be ready wherever you're on the ice. So just really fortunate and happy that I'm getting that opportunity too, and I just need to keep playing my heavy game and also my skill game at the same time.
Were you surprised when you got traded from Pittsburgh, or maybe it happened to be a welcome surprise for you, as it turns out?
Yeah, obviously I was a little surprised, you know. Of course, when you're playing down there and you know you want to be up in the NHL, you obviously wonder what you should do. Because obviously it was a little bit later in my career, you know, I really need to start showing things that I can be able to play in the NHL. And it was a little bit of a surprise, obviously. I didn't know where I was going to go if I got traded, but this was the perfect fit for me.
I want to go back to growing up, because your dad, Michael, played a long time in the National Hockey League. I actually was in training camp with him in Philly. I think it was his last year. He came in on a tryout.
Yeah.
And you guys, you and your brother, were both born in Calgary when your dad played there.
Yep.
And then you spent some time over in the Swedish Elite League as well, right?
A little bit. Like, not like the pro leagues. I only played like 5 games.
Okay.
I played more because I went to Mississauga the year before my draft.
You went to Mississauga. Yeah. So he went, and he's a year older than you?
Two.
He's 2 years older than you. Okay. Yeah. So he got drafted in 2014, and you were 16, and you were both 8th overall. Yeah. What was it like growing up? Were you guys pretty tight, pretty competitive? You know, we hear a lot of stories about the Kachucks, but what about the Nylanders?
Yeah, obviously, we were really competitive growing up. We always wanted to beat each other, and there would be a lot of fights downstairs in the basement. Dad would have to come and break us up. But even though how much we fought and stuff like that, we would be best friends like 5 minutes later. So we always loved playing against each other, and Dad would bring us a lot to the rings and see how that like NHL environment was as a young age. And we'd try to watch all the games live, too, when we were like getting a little older to understand what hockey really is. So that was awesome and a really cool experience that we were allowed to do that. So that was a big help that we were able to see that, you know, at a young age.
What do you call your hometown?
I'm just going to say Sweden.
Sweden?
I was more in the U.S. But
like what? What town were you in? You were in Washington? What do you remember?
Washington, Chicago, New York. I remember New York, Washington, Chicago pretty good. And then I don't remember much more of the other
places. You remember being in the locker room in New York and hanging around the guys?
Yeah, the green room. We used to always bring our mini sticks and shoot in the back area. And then I remember it was like a huge stair to go down to the locker room from that like family room. Washington, I remember. We were older than we were like 12, 11. So I remember all Washington. That was also a pretty sick experience. And we were playing. I don't know who we played for, but. And then Chicago, we played for the Mission when my dad was there that 1 year. But then he wasn't in the show, I think, that year we played in the Mission. But when we were younger, we lived out in the suburbs.
So you had a great upbringing around National Hockey League players. Anyone stand out as maybe a guy you were around a lot and you realize how big of a superstar he was?
Well, Backstrom actually lived with us 1 year, his first year in the National. He lived with us in Washington there, so that was awesome. You know, get to hang around with him, and he was a great guy. And it was a lot of fun that we were able to spend time, not just my dad, but also Backstrom, and he would have to play so much ping pong and mini sticks against us. I think he got really tired of us at the end, but he was a great guy. Obviously, that's when you start knowing more about hockey. So Ovechkin was awesome to see and see how he scored a goal every game when we were there, and he was amazing. So that's when we understand a little bit more about hockey when we were a little bit older there. So then those guys were sick.
Were you always the same type of player? Were you and your brother William always the same type of player?
Yeah, we train all together and do all the same things, so we kind of like you become pretty similar. So we have probably been pretty similar our whole since we were kids.
You know, there's one thing I remember about your dad in camp. He was a hard worker. He worked. I didn't see guys work hard, but practice would be over and he would be skating so hard. I think we had Yager there too. And he was just like plowing through the ice. There was nothing. The day was not over for Michael Nylander. It was impressive for me. Did that fall down on you quite a bit? Did he push you guys?
Yeah, of course. He knew what it took to get to the NHL, obviously. So he just wanted us to be as prepared as possible. So I don't know where we actually would be without him. All the training in the summer, what to do the right way, and how hard and how much it actually takes to get to the NHL, and then obviously stay there is another thing too. So just having him around and helping us guide us the right way was obviously huge for us. And I don't know what would happen if we didn't have him. Obviously, it's a big thanks to him and get to where we are today.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I only met him briefly, spent a few weeks with him, but he was a great guy to be around. And I saw William, your dad, and was your sister and their family, all in, was it Sweden this year? It's been a long season.
Yep.
And you had to be a little jealous of that experience for them.
Series?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was well covered I think William had, I don't know if he had a camera with him the whole time, but there was a lot about him doing things away from the ice. It looked like a great experience for your family.
Yeah, when I saw that they were playing there, I thought, obviously that would be sick to play in your hometown like that and then with all your friends and everything, your family. So, yeah, I was a little bit jealous, and it actually went really well for him too there. So that was awesome to see that he had really good games there, and he said it was a lot of fun, and obviously that's something you want to do, but just really happy for him and the whole family. And like, my grandma hasn't seen a game live, like in person, so that was also really cool that some people that haven't seen a game maybe live were able to do it. So that was just a really cool experience for the whole Nylander family.
And he's in such a big market. Who's got better style? I mean, is he just getting more popularity because he's in Toronto and he's covered so well?
Style as in like on ice or
off ice? Off ice. Off ice.
Okay. I get the impression you don't think it's style.
No, but he's got, I actually would give him, he's got better style on the ice, and then off the ice, he got a lot of inspiration from me. From, I started just trying to get good clothes and stuff like that, and then he's been following up a little bit, and now he's actually starting to buy more clothes, so we're starting to get probably even on the off the ice, I'd say.
Oh, I like this competition.
Yeah.
We're talking with Alex Nylander of the Blue Jackets here tonight on the Inside Edge. How much have you leaned on your dad and your brother in your career? Like, you and your brother's careers have gone different paths, obviously. I mean, he's in Toronto, and he's been there, and that's been it for him. You were taken by the Sabres in the first round, went to Chicago, went to Pittsburgh. Now you're here in Columbus. How much have you leaned on them, and especially on your dad about the, you know, making those adjustments? Everywhere you go, you got to make a different adjustment, right?
Yeah, exactly. Obviously it's been different if you compare me and my brother. Obviously, I don't try not to compare so much because every path to the NHL is different. So if you just start thinking about that stuff, obviously it's just going to start like thinking too much, and it's just not good for you. So my dad really said that he didn't really get established in the NHL until he was like 28, 27, he said. So, yeah, obviously I would like it to be different and be like kind of the way that my brother was, you know, just play a year or two in the A and then straight to the be in the National since then. But everything was going pretty smoothly there when I was in Chicago, but then the injury kind of set everything back the way you probably wanted things to go. So that was tough, and then had to start again in the minors I think I've been there for 2 years now or something like that. So, and I've been playing really good hockey down there. So that was really helpful that I was able to find my game after my knee surgery, start playing a lot of minutes, you know, get that confidence back and kind of remember what kind of player I am. Because the first, like, half the year after my surgery, it was tough. Like, it was weird playing. I didn't play a game for, like, 500 days. So when I came back, it was like, everything was going so much faster than I thought, even though you thought you were kind of ready, but you kind of were a little bit scared with the knee. So that took some time. And then once I got that going, and then I had a full summer of like really being able to work out like normal. This was last year, I think. Yeah, then I started feeling way better on the ice and trusting my knee and finding that like real player that I really am. So I learned a lot through that lesson, you know, the mental, and really just didn't give up. You know, I just skated hard, you know, do extra things before practice and after, make sure I'm doing the right thing. So I always feel the best possible ever going into every game, and just kept working hard every day and trying to find my game. And, you know, if I get a chance, I would be ready.
You know, so you had a lot of stuff going on, obviously. Yeah. And then to go back to the American Hockey League, you know, that's not easy to do either, right? Once you've had the taste of the National Hockey League, I mean, you want to be in the NHL. It's tough to go back there. But, you know, kudos to you. While you were there, you figure out how to come back from your injury. But then you're playing really well in Wilkes-Barre. I mean, you know, obviously that's the Blue Jackets knew what you were doing there, and that's why they got you included in this deal. But how tough is it sometimes mentally to go back there and be that good player? Because, look, if you're not, your chances of coming back really, they yeah. diminish, right? So you got to be there. You got to be playing hard. But it's not always the easiest thing to do, is it?
No, exactly. Especially when, like you said, you get a touch in the National. Then even, like, after my surgery, I felt good through the summer. But then I got sent down. Obviously, that was tough because you just got used to that playing in the National. And you just, like, knew you belonged there. And instead of, I wasn't really thinking that maybe it would be good for me to play down there. This is like right when I got sent up. And after, I was like, yeah, maybe it was good that I spent like half a year here and start getting used to playing down here. I actually did get called up right before I got traded to Pittsburgh after half the year, like after December. Then I got traded before I was able to step on the ice. So it was really weird. So I got traded and then I got to go straight to Pittsburgh. And then obviously they want you to start down in the A and do that stuff. But yeah, obviously when you get sent down like that, you can start thinking too much and, like, I mean, start losing confidence and like start doubting what you're going to do, like, in the future, if you even have a chance anymore. But I just kept believing in myself, and, you know, it was good for me. Obviously I really got my game back, and then the way I knew I could play before my injury and stuff like that. So yeah, so just really happy that I'm here in Columbus and I played good, and if they were scouting my game or whatever. So it's been a perfect fit here.
You know, it's funny because the three of us have all different roles and different paths, but we all came up through that minor league system. And so the things you're saying, it's the same thing. There's days where you wonder, is it going to happen? And then you only realize how good it was for you after the fact. Right, Jody?
Oh, yeah.
You can look back now and go, oh, I'm so thankful I went through that, because – then I already knew these things before I got to the National Hockey League. It happens for everybody.
Yeah, it seems so far away at times. And then you catch a break where you get traded to a team that's not playing well, and you get an opportunity right away on a good line with Texier and Sillinger. And you guys had great chemistry right away. It was excellent. And then when you look at your opportunity now with Jenner and Goodrow, I mean, you probably weren't thinking this 40 days ago. And so, I mean, even last night, let's go back to that. There's, 25 seconds left in the game. It's a one-goal game, and Alex Nylander's on the ice. What's that mean? Like, what was that like for you last night to be called upon to be in that position?
Yeah, like, obviously, like you said, like, I would never think this would happen, like, 40, like, before I got traded and stuff. And now getting that confidence and trust from the coach is huge. It makes you play better and just go play play your game out there. But at the same time, you obviously got to be good in the D zone. You got to win your battles and try to get the puck out, and you got to gain that trust from the coach. So that I'm out there, that's obviously, it's what you want to be out there, obviously, and that I'm getting that trust from the coach is a big part.
Early in your career, would you have said that about the D zone and winning battles? Was it more offensive, Alex Nylander?
Yeah, when I was younger, maybe about offense, but
because that's a big step.
Yeah, obviously. Otherwise, if you're not good in D zone, you know, you're not playing or stuff like that, which is totally understandable. You just gotta really dig down. But if you have good defense, you know, it leads to good offense. So the faster we can get the puck out of the D zone and get to offense is the better. So just gotta They're better down in the D zone.
I remember, and I tell this story all the time. I got traded from San Jose to New York, and I thought my career was over. I was like, this is going to be the greatest, 2 months of my life. I'm going to enjoy New York. I'm going to enjoy the team. I'm going to play free. I don't care about anything but enjoying and playing hockey. Are you there right now mentally? Are you playing free hockey?
Yeah.
Because it's a wonderful place to be.
Yeah, it's amazing when you just go out there.
Got you 3 more years.
I know, but it's like, I'm telling you, I was 34 years old and did because I was in, you know, they talk about the zone or like playing free. If you're there, I hope you're there because it's a wonderful place. It's just like, get out of my way. I'm coming in to do whatever I got to do to make myself great tonight.
Yeah, exactly. That's how it's feeling. So it's feeling really good. Kind of the way I feel like when I play in the minors, you know, I can really play my game, hold on to the puck, try to make plays. And then at the same time, like if something happens, you know, I don't have to be worried if something's going to happen, like a bench or something like that. You know, he trusts you that, you know, next time if you get that chance, you're going to make the right play. So that is huge. So then you get to play that in that free zone and it makes you play a lot better and play the player you are.
Yeah, it's incredible.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It really is. I mean, it's really when you really don't care about outside noise. You don't worry about what if this happens. I hope everyone gets to experience that at some point. If they experience it, ride it.
Were you able to carry that into your last contract in Philly?
It changed for me because the coach put me in a different role. Like when Torts was like, reward anyone that just kind of bowled their way in and went for it and team first and had confidence in yourself. You know, that's really what it was. And you can tell people to have confidence and believe in yourself. But until you really are at that point where you're at the edge of the cliff and you're like, well, I got to make this work or at least enjoy the flight, then it's, you know, it's kind of it's a good place to be. But it takes some time, and it's all about experiences, you know. So hopefully this is a part of your career that you look back and say, man, that's where it happened. It feels like you're taking advantage of it.
Yeah, I hope so, too. So I just got to keep going, keep working hard every day here, and I'm really enjoying it, too. So it's been awesome, and it's been great. My first, I don't know, 3 weeks here, so it's I love it here.
How do you like the organization? How are you treated?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has been really good, you know, really helpful. The guys, all easy to talk to. They really make sure you're fitting in and feeling comfortable. So, I mean, like you said, it's a perfect fit for me right time in my career, and just enjoying it and keep going on this.
Yeah, good. Did you know anybody before you came to Columbus? Anybody in the organization or on the team? Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. He told me. You guys, he was hoping you were going to come in and have an impact.
Me and him, he played his first year, half year, and my first year in Chicago together. So we were hanging out a lot, and he's a great guy, and it was awesome to see that I got here to Columbus, and he was here, so we're reunited again.
You like this road trip, this weird road trip? I mean, I know anything's better than the bus ride from Wilkes-Barre to Lehigh Valley.
Are you kidding me? Right? He's loving it.
I know, but yeah. But is it good for you, especially for a guy? You know, you haven't been around for very long, so this is an opportunity to be on the road for a long time and get to know guys better.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, obviously, since I came here, we have had a lot of games, but I think that's been obviously the best part. So it's been a lot of fun playing all these games, and this road trip is great because we got to play good teams, Colorado, Vegas, and we got to go to Arizona. So it is a little bit, like, weird where we're going.
Everywhere.
Detroit, we're going everywhere and then there, but you know, it's great to get to know the guys even more, get dinners, and really grow as a team, and get good chemistry off the ice. Sometimes at least better chemistry on the ice. So I just enjoying it. I'm loving it. So it's going to be a lot of fun, and we still have a couple games left here to finish off the road trip. Good.
When you were in Chicago, you were with Taves and Kane, right?
Yeah.
Did you get to play with them? Okay, well, what was that like? Because, I mean, Patrick Kane, for anyone that's played hockey in the last 15 years, he's been the guy everyone looks at, especially from Europe.
Yeah, Kaner and Taser, great guys off the ice. I mean, it was my first year. They were taking care of you, you know. Taser was an unbelievable captain. Played with him, he was unbelievable to play with. And then Kaner was the best player I think I've seen.
I mean, last night, too, I mean, it was crazy.
Insane. His hands, his everything, his vision. Like, even in practice, it was just like, just nuts. So when you got to play with him, it was obviously, that was unbelievable. And we had pretty good chemistry together, I remember. So that was fun. And Tasia too, he was great. Great leader, and you know, and they just want to, like, to win, like, every game. You just notice it off them too. So that was, like, really cool to see that they, how much they love winning and how much it meant to them. So learned a lot from those guys that year.
What would Kane get upset if he set you up and you missed the pass or didn't get the shot away? Like, I see Sid doing that sometimes in Pittsburgh, where it's like he's not getting upset, but you know how he feels about it.
Yeah, sort of similar there too.
He doesn't have to say anything.
Oh yeah. He'll get mad sometimes, but not if you missed, like, accidentally, but he can get mad at other things if he doesn't think you're working hard or something like that.
So that's great. You played with those guys in Chicago. You got to be around Sid when you were with Pittsburgh. I mean, you've been around some great players now.
Some of the greatest.
As a player, yeah.
Yeah.
And probably growing up around.
Those were my, like, I was like Kane and Crosby and Taser. So, I mean, it was obviously crazy. When I was younger, they were playing with them. I'm like, this is crazy. This is awesome.
Your dad didn't play with them, right?
No, I think maybe against Crosby his first year.
Yeah.
Like that. And then the career ended the year after that. I'm not sure if he played against Kane or Taser. But yeah, then I got to see you at Sid. I'm like, oh, I'm playing with, like, my idols growing up, which is unbelievable. And then seeing them, the way they just take care of themselves and how good they are is amazing. And Crosby just looks better every year. I don't know. He's amazing too, and he's a great guy. So it was awesome to see how they work and stuff like that, off and on the ice.
Well, Alex, thanks for taking time to join us on this long road trip. We really do appreciate it. Great to get to know you a little bit better. Hey, continue doing what you're doing, man, because it's working out great.
Yeah, thank you very much, and I'll try.
All right, that's all we can ask. Alex Nylander with us here on the Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank. We'll be back to wrap up this week's show next on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge. Getting set to close out tonight's show from Colorado. The Blue Jackets will take on the Avalanche on Friday night, and then we'll be in Vegas on Saturday, then Arizona next Tuesday, and to Pittsburgh next Thursday. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's the trip. That's how it is. And it's one of two trips that are left this year for the Blue Jackets on the schedule, trying to get as many wins and points as they can along the way. Jody, some big news yesterday involving your former teammate, Rick Nash. He is going to be the general manager for Team Canada for the World Championships. These positions are really great opportunities. Chris Clark did it for Team USA last year. Rick was an assistant GM last year for Team Canada, I believe. Now he's going to be the general manager. Great chance to kind of dip your toe in the water. It's not like being an NHL GM per se, but you're doing a lot of recruiting to try to get guys to go over and play.
Oh, it's for Rick, it's awesome. I mean, you know, he had a great career, ends up back in Columbus. He's doing player development, you know, learning the ropes of how to build a team and manage players and watching talent. And now he gets an opportunity to pick the team and be the general manager of Team Canada for the World Championships, which I believe is over in Prague. So, you know, congratulations to Rick. It's a big deal because, you know, these players and these teams that are out in the playoffs, now he's got to go and watch and understand what the team looks like to go there and win the championship. Probably had a great experience last year with Shane Doan, who was the general manager. And it's a great thing for his resume. You know, if that's something he wants to do down the road or in the future, there's probably so much he'll learn. He's got great support. Hockey Canada, you know, you win a gold medal with them, as Rick has done in the past. And, you know, you're part of that program. He's got the respect from them, and they understand he's put the work in. So it's really a nice achievement for Rick to have that. And we wish him great luck when he gets there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's wonderful for Rick. We tried to get him on here, but he's flying today. So we will get him on.
Oh, he'll be busy now, I bet. He's probably been busy all year getting prepared.
Yeah, but we will talk to him at some point. Jody, let's talk about you touched on this way back in the first segment. We were talking about Detroit. They get back into a wild card spot with their win last night. But, man, what's going on here in the East with the wild card? Tampa has 80 points. They have the number one wild card. Detroit now with 76 points. They have the second wild card spot. You've got Washington with 75. The Islanders are right there with 73. And then you drop back further. Buffalo 71, New Jersey 70, Pittsburgh 69. But then you've got Philly.
They're kind of hanging around. They're still in third place in the Metropolitan Division. They've got 78 points. They would rather stay there, I would think, than fall into a wild card situation, but they very well could.
Yeah, right now they'd play Carolina. And, you know, this is the time of year when you start looking at that with the Rangers up top. And, you know, the Rangers have played some really good hockey. They're 2 points ahead of Carolina. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what happens down the edge here. Buffalo's putting on a big push. They're getting goaltending from Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen. Their team is playing a better brand of hockey. They seem like they're healthy out there. So I think that the teams like this that are pushing, they've got a taste. The urgency's high. And they're watching every single game when their nights are off. So, I mean, you look at Detroit. They went to bed on, Friday and woke up in the playoffs on Friday and woke up the next day and they were out of the playoffs. And that's what's going to happen here throughout the rest of the year. So, and the Blue Jackets are going to see these teams, as we talked about earlier. So they have a chance to have, you know, an impact to play spoiler. And they did it last year. Well, I guess Pittsburgh lost to Chicago the night before and then the Blue Jackets pushed them out the next night at home. And those are always fun games when you can have the impact on the Penguins like that.
They're very fun, no doubt about that. We're going right into the Hornets' nest here, too, in Colorado on Friday night, because even though Colorado, they're going to be in the playoffs, but they're trying to get the top spot in their division. And Winnipeg right now is tied with them, and Winnipeg holds that spot by the tiebreaker. And then you've got Dallas, who's in third place, and they're just 2 points behind both of those teams.
Those three teams are – I mean, we just saw Winnipeg, and I said they were the best team we saw. I think Dallas was a little off when we saw them earlier in the year. But I'm anxious to see Colorado because I think they're better than Winnipeg. I think they've got the skill. I think the goaltending edge goes to the Winnipeg Jets with Hellebuck. But when you look at this, Bob, we haven't seen Colorado since last November in Finland. It's been a long time since we've seen the Colorado Avalanche. Yeah. And that did not go well as far as points over there. That was that seems like 4 years ago now. But now the Colorado Avalanche, we're going to see them a couple times here in the next few weeks. And I'm anxious to see because everyone has them and Florida as Stanley Cup favorites right now.
Yeah, actually, when you look at Winnipeg, Dallas, and Colorado, you could get a Stanley Cup winner out of any of those teams.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that the way they're built, the way that they're playing a team game, that's the one thing about Winnipeg that impressed me was they relished the defensive zone, understanding. It seemed like they all understood the importance of defense to lead to offense. One sleeper team that we saw, though, is the Nashville Predators.
Yeah.
I like what they got going on.
I thought about that when you said Winnipeg's the best team we've seen because I think Nashville creeps into that conversation.
I do, too. But I think I'd give Winnipeg the edge just because they've got – I shouldn't say they have more veterans. I think Nashville does, too. But I like the O'Reilly pickup. I think, you know, the championship – they might be actually very even. And Saros is playing extremely well, but he always has to surprise you because he's just a little guy. And when you look at Hellebuck, it just feels to me more – and this is from the outside. We didn't see Saros when we saw Lankinen when they were in town last week. We're going to see them again. I mean, that's one of those top teams again. So the Blue Jackets' schedule is – it was mostly teams that are out of the playoffs, and now just Arizona – is one of those ones that's not in or having a push. So it's going to be an interesting schedule here with a team that the call-ups, the team game they have to play, everything has to go right for them. They have to get the save. Everything has to go right for them to win games. And, you know, I thought last night was extremely winnable.
Yep, it
obviously
was. And it didn't happen. They had to settle for a point, but we'll see what happens here in Colorado. 9 o'clock face-off on Friday night. Pre-game coverage starts at 8:30, both here on the Blue Jackets Radio Network and with Jody on Bally Sports. Thanks. Enjoy the next couple of days on the road.
Yeah, you too, Bob.
All right. That is Jody Shelley. I'm Bob McElligott. Thanks for listening to The Inside Edge, presented by First Merchants Bank here on 97.1 The Fan.